You may be seated. Well, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Right? Today I want to focus on this word of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. A biblical scholar of the Old Testament at Luther Seminary, Rolf Jacobson, made the difference of definition on this biblical word. Most of us describe repentance as feeling sorry or feeling regrets or expressing contrition, right? Which it is that. But he kind of gave a little bit more insight when he kind of share the definition in its Hebrew and then later on in Greek, in the Greek form. Repentance in its Hebrew form, Rolf says, means to turn around. And that is what I often emphasize here at church. It is as if we're going somewhere in a specific direction and suddenly someone comes to us and taps on our shoulder, causing us to turn our whole body right around and change direction. But this scholar made the difference between this Hebrew word for repentance, shuveh, and the Greek word for repentance, metanoia, which is the very word that is in our Gospels for today. And these words, in its Greek word, means as changing one's mind. Literally means changing one's mind, right? Similar to the process of the change of one's perspective, right, which is different, and I will say harder as well. It is to have a transformation, he says, that begins with or involves seeing things in a new way, right? It is to have a transformation that begins with or involves seeing things in a new way. Otherwise, we may miss embracing what is happening in front of us. In the case of Jesus' time, it was the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God that was already present, was already there, right? So if you can think for a moment, what has been moments of transformation for you? What has been those moments where you were transformed by a new perspective or experienced the newness of perspective by maybe an encounter with someone that changed your mind about something, that allow you to better connect, perhaps, with your neighbor, with the world around you? And when I think about the changes in my own life that I have gone through, those moments of transformation where God has transformed my view of the world and my view of others, right? They're all rooted in being in relationship with people, right? Spending time with the people that God has put in my life to be in a relationship with, right? Being with people who I used to think they were far from God's grace and God's love, right? For example, people who marry people of their own sex. I used to have a whole different view about them. Or people who did not come into this country in the same way that I did, right, with documents. I had a whole different perspective about these two groups. And I often have spoken of my time being in relationship with people who at some point stood outside of my concept of the beloved community of God, right? And so during this time, I discovered that they are people just like me, hungry to receive the mercy of God. People who have gifts for ministry and people who have been created in the image of God, regardless of their gender or social orientation or immigration status. I really went through a process of change of mind and perspective, right? Transformation, if you may, to be able to embrace what God was doing in those places, in these people, calling me to also be a light to them, sharing the light of Christ, the light of Christ, the light of love to them, right? And so the change that occurred for me involved again, from turning from judgment and rejection to one of embrace and acceptance, right? Changing my perspective of on who belongs to God. Pastor Peter and I just returned from a series of workshops on evangelism, right, in Berkeley at PLTS, Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, where I went to seminary. And we got a lot of ideas as to how we can connect better with people around us, right? And so we learned all sorts of models for ministry, people to minister to people who may never step into our church doors on Sunday mornings, but who are part of our community and who God calls us to minister and see what God is doing in their lives. One of the things that caught my attention is this concept of messy church, right? How does that sound to you, messy church? Let's do messy church, Christ Lutheran.
Messy?
That does not sound very attractive, right? So it is a model that is meant to reach out to families with kids, right, who cannot sit still for a whole hour, right? We have experienced that, right? Our little preschoolers, I do chapel with them every Thursday. Their attention span to be still is like 3 minutes, 5 minutes at the most, right? And so there's different ways to reach out to families who have families and to, through a set of experiential activities, we can share the gospel with them, right? And so there is this messy church that I used to do this with families up in Washington when I was a mission developer before. I think I didn't know I was doing messy church, right? But I would gather people at the community center and I would just had this time of prayer by coloring, right, around somebody who they wanted to pray for, right, and we will sing together, and then the message was just very different, right? So it was not sitting on the pews, but it was more of a social hall, right? And so that's a model that we can implement with our preschool families, right? Kind of meet them where they are, embrace them, share the gospel with them. Of course, it's going to look different, but those are different ways, right? One of the things that stay with me from Pastor Anna Kari, she's our denomination initiative program manager. She said this throughout her presentation, which is something very basic, but I think we often forget. Every single person around you, your neighbors, every person on earth has a soul, right? Meaning every person whom God has put in front of you has a soul. And so God calls us to embrace that person because that person shares that same humanity as you and I. Right? That same image that we all bear, which is the image of God. And so every single strategy of how to evangelize people was what I hear was rooted in connecting with people in a relational way, right? That remains the best way to spread the gospel, right? Relating with people, being in a relationship with people. Learn how to talk with people about your faith. Having those human connections. And that is what we see in Jesus and in his ministry. And to this, he was inviting people in the Gospel of Matthew to repent, to change one's mind about their own expectations about this long-awaited Messiah, right? The anointing one from God who was promised to come on the last days to establish a new order, right? But by wiping all the people who did not fit into the concept of a beloved community. The Messiah did come in the person of Jesus, but in a different way. Not as they were expecting, not as a military leader, but as a servant of God. Someone who did not force his belief in someone by force, but by being in relationship with people, right? Someone who sought to who shone the light of God's mercy through his service to the most vulnerable. And that is what we see in his ministry, establishing a kingdom, liberating people from their illnesses, their suffering, The kingdom of God had come near and was being shown and being manifested in the ministry of Jesus, in the way Jesus was ministering to people, in the way Jesus was caring for people. And he was a friend to the sick and to the poor and the rich, the one who followed the Jewish law, the one who did not follow the Jewish law, right? And reminded people later in the Gospel of Matthew that loving God and one's neighbor was where all the law stood upon, right? If we read Matthew 22:36-40, Jesus says, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And that is the greatest and first commandment. And second is like it, you should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Right? The transformation that Jesus promises leads to a deeper connection not only with God, but with others, with our neighbors. So what would you say have been those experiences that you have had with you think had contributed to a change of mind, change of perspective? What have you seen, heard, or experienced that has changed your mind about something where God has opened your heart towards a neighbor, towards someone you saw as an enemy or as an outsider? May we continue to be changed by following Jesus, who shows us this God of mercy. And may we go out changed by the very presence of God in the body and blood of Jesus today. Amen.